Most of the early socialist thinkers tended to be French, the Count de Saint-Simon, Charles Fourier, and of course Louis Blanc, who not only was involved in socialist theory, but also in this more problematic area of how does one actually apply theory to practical politics. But the real focal point of socialist thought, the driving force behind socialism in Europe in the 19th century and certainly far well beyond, was Karl Marx. It was Marx who would systematize socialist thinking, Marx who would develop a coherent body of ideas, an all-explaining ideological interpretation of the human past, the present, and projections for the future. As a young man, he had studied philosophy in Berlin under Hegel. He began a career as a democratic radical newspaper man working for the Kurdische Zeitung in the Rhineland. He'd been born in Trier in the Rhineland. He met Friedrich Engels, who owned a factory in Manchester, met him in Paris in 1844, and the two men, both Germans, began a lifelong collaboration. In 1847, Marx and Engels joined the Communist League, a tiny secret society consisting mostly of German exiles. And in January of 1848, Marx and Engels would write the Communist Manifesto, in which they proclaimed, as we alluded to during our discussion of the Revolution of 1848, in a very famous first line, "The specter is haunting Europe, the specter of communism." That, as we saw, proved to be a premature assessment of the situation. Neither man played a significant role in the events of 1848, nor really did socialist thought. Their influence would be felt really for the first time in a significant way in the late 1860s and 1870s. After 1848, both men settled in England, where Marx developed the body of ideas that in the 1870s would be increasingly referred to as Marxism or Marxist socialism. The basic components of Marxism are the labor theory of value, the iron law of wages, and his notion of dialectical materialism. In the labor theory of value, Marx would argue in a number of works, in his Critique of Political Economy, and then finally in 1867 with the publication of this monumental theoretical work called Das Kapital, Capital, Marx would argue that it was not the market, but labor, the labor that went into a product, that should be the basis of a product's value. Surplus value, Marx argued, was the key here. That when a worker, what a worker received in wages was only a fraction of the value of that product. The difference between that was expropriated. Thus, capital is only stored labor and is ultimately parasitic. He adopted the idea of the iron law of wages, that is, that workers' wages must be kept in a capitalist system at virtually subsistence level to maximize profits, and that this would lead inevitably to overproduction of unaffordable goods. This relationship, then, would produce two types of crisis. One would be the gradual alienation of the worker from his product. He doesn't own the means of production. His labor is being exploited, and hence the worker himself would increasingly be alienated from his labor, from the product of his labor. That would be one. And this failure to own the means of production and his exploitation, this alienation, would be one of the central psychological factors in Marx's thought. It would also lead to rabid competition between capitalist businesses in any national economy, and ultimately between capitalist countries.